Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Hello, and welcome to Fearless Generations 12 Steps to Freedom. Tonight we are talking step 11, which is passion. We're going to be talking about self-expression, and we also have an amazing guest on the show tonight that we are going to introduce you to in just a bit. But let me introduce myself. I am Kelly Fox, and my host, Terry Sayer, actually hasn't shown up on the call just yet, so I will bring her in when she shows up. So this week, as we like to do, we talk about our week. This week has involved quite a bit of passion, so I'm excited to share with you. This last weekend, Terry and I did a live workshop in Tulare, where Terry lives, called Pathway of Change, and it's a two-day workshop. And we got to talk about these specific principles that we talk about each week with you. We got to talk about them for 2 days straight. We did 12 principles. We had amazing participants, and I was able to share my passion for this work and this information with them. And it always gets me excited. It always helps me to feel like so alive to share this information with other people and to really help them get more clear on who they are and how their fear is talking to them and how they can get past that and live the life that they want to live. So that is what I got to do this weekend, and it was so awesome. So Terry is here. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
So I just did our little intro and talked about what happened to me this week with passion. So would you like to add a little, and then we'll introduce our guest?
Yeah, I don't want to take up too much time from our guest because we did the exact same thing this weekend. So it was always a pleasure to be able to share Fearless Living with others and to share our passion for helping people to understand how to negotiate their fears and keep them from blocking them from the life that they want to live. So we, as Kelly stated, we had an amazing group of participants who just in 2 days, and we're able to find some specific ways to look at their lives in a different way and to see perhaps where fear was blocking them and keeping them from their passion and even identifying what their passion was. And so that was an amazing opportunity. Like Kelly, I love sharing Fearless Living and the principles and the 12 steps to freedom and being able to change your life so that it resonates with you and what your purpose is, and just to gain clarity. And every time we do this workshop, I am able to go deeper into understanding my own passion and clarity about how I want to live my life in freedom. So it was an amazing weekend, and I always enjoy working with Kelly and watching her blossom and bloom and just have more confidence and be able to trust herself. And as a mom, that's an amazing opportunity as well. So it was a great end to a week.
Well, ditto. I'm excited to be working with you as well. And you did a great job too. Okay, so tonight we have a special treat for you guys. Our guest tonight is not a Fearless Living coach. She is a different kind of public speaker and author. She's written 2 books, and she is here to tell us about how passion helped her heal and helped her to live the life that she wants to live. So I'm really excited to introduce Haley Freeman. Hi, Haley.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you guys tonight.
We are excited to have you. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Haley.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a small ranch town here in Utah. I'm still here in Utah as well, but I grew up on a little ranch. And I had, well, as a teenager, I suffered with an eating disorder, and that's with anorexia, and that's kind of what has driven my path of what I'm doing now. And I'll get into that a little bit more later. But and so that kind of led my journey with being an author and what I speak on, because I help women with body image and self-esteem and divine worth and creating a healthy relationship with food. And so that's what I, speak on, as well as like my two books that I have. The one talks about my experience overcoming my journey of the eating disorder. And then my next one is more of a children's book with dealing with those issues on a children's level, children's book. So, yeah. And then I'm also a mom with three little kids, and yeah, we live here in Utah.
Awesome. We're so excited to have you here. Tonight we're talking, as I said, about step 11, which is passion and self-expression, and how we express that passion that we have and share it with others, but also to, fully experience it ourselves. And we were talking earlier about how your passion for something other than food helped you heal yourself because it shifted your focus. Would you like to share some part of that story?
Yeah. So, yeah, when you told me the topic of passion, the very first thing that came to my mind, it's really, really interesting, and it gets pretty deep and spiritual, but so in my book, I sometimes say anorexia didn't almost kill me, it did, meaning I did have a near-death experience from eating disorder. That's how bad it got, and so much, it was just such a phenomenal thing that happened to me, but the full story is written in my book, but just to touch on just a teeny tiny part of it, I was... In that experience, I was told more or less that I needed to learn sign language. I was also, by angels, basically. And so when I came back from that experience and when I started to heal, I started to learn sign language. And at the time, I didn't really know why or whatever, but I started, I learned it extremely quick. I felt like it was more like I was remembering it, instead of learning it. It was something that I definitely had a talent for, and it became my passion. It became something I was so passionate about, and I didn't really know what was happening at the time, but what was happening was I was changing my energy, which had been so long just obsessed over this addiction of anorexia. You don't really realize it, but it becomes such an obsession, and you spend so much energy obsessing over food and calories and exercising and not eating and what you did eat and what you didn't eat. It's an obsession, and you burn so much energy on that, and it becomes your life and your identity, this eating disorder. And so once I started recovering, I was able to shift all that energy and my focus and grab onto a new passion, which was sign language. And with that, I was so passionate about the sign language. I was learning it so fast, and it opened up a brand new world for me. I was able to meet deaf friends and start to learn about this whole new deaf community, and it just was amazing. And I didn't realize this at the time, but it was helping me heal. It was creating a new identity. Because so many times, people with eating disorders, they grab onto that as their identity. They say, well, who am I if I'm not the anorexic girl? And sometimes that keeps them from getting better, because they're like, that's who I am, And so it gave me something else. It gave me, no, I'm not the anorexic girl. I'm this girl that wants to learn sign language. I'm this girl that wants to get better, And later down the road, once I started learning about eating behaviors, and when I started learning about how you do heal from eating disorders as an adult, when I took my college classes and different things, I learned one of the steps of healing from eating disorders is to find a passion. You teach those, you teach the patients to find a passion. You help them find a passion to heal. And I didn't know this at the time. I didn't know this when I was 16, but what a blessing that was from my experience I had those angels were giving me a way to heal. And that was just amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's so amazing. And no matter what our issues might be, I mean, it might be something as intense as an eating disorder, or it might be some other type of disorder, but how we can shift our energy and shift our focus into something positive for us, and we can truly heal and get past whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's really interesting, too, that as you were healing and you had this passion for sign language, it was to connect to another whole community and to broaden, it really was to expand your space on the earth so that you just were expanding your experience in a way to encompass another whole community of people that you could see that you may not have ever seen before. And that, so that was expanding your passion as well. And then to serve people, I think, you know,
absolutely,
the fact that you're a speaker and that you, you know, you've had this experience and know that you had a purpose here upon on the earth to remain here, that passion for learning sign language then has evolved into a passion of service.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and how many doors of opportunity, I mean, it opened for me. I mean, not only did it create lifelong friendships with, you know, one of my best friends still to this day. I mean, she's deaf and, you know, she'll be a friend for forever. And then I went on to be able to interpret at the MTC for deaf missionaries. And mm-hmm, then, you know, just mm-hmm, so many amazing things. But and then as I was able to heal, which I needed to do first, it created a new passion, too, to help other people get better with eating disorders and to know that I needed to share my whole story, that you can recover from eating disorders. I mean, there's this falsehood out there that, oh, once you have eating disorder, you'll have it for life. And that's not true. I mean, absolutely not true. I mean, I'm definitely a testament that you can get better completely and heal. But there are steps you need to take to do that, you know. But, and so now that's my passion. And so you can have more than one passion, and your passion can definitely evolve. Now I want to share my story. I want to get out there on stages. I want to share my books and help others, you know, to not go down the road I did, or to know that they can get out of it. They can heal, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Keep going. Go ahead, Kelly. Go ahead. I don't remember what I was going to say now, so go ahead.
I was just going to say that also during this experience, I was told again, I was given so much beautiful instruction at the time to help me, that which is written in my book. But one of the things is that I needed to write this book. And so when the time was right, that is what I did. So I wrote this book, and then that opened doors of speaking and what have you. But so that's the book that's called A Future for Tomorrow. And then what I noticed when I was speaking, and it's really sad. It broke my heart. But women would come and tell me, this book's amazing for me and my teenager, but it's my third grader. It's my first grader. It's my 5-year-old that thinks she's fat. It's my 8-year-old that's on a diet. It's my, do you have something for little kids? And I was devastated to hear all these women after my speaking event coming to me for needing help for their 5-year-old, their 4-year-old. And I was just devastated. And then I started hearing more and more statistics, like 80% of 10-year-olds have been on a diet. Think of this, 10-year-olds, 80% of them have been on a diet. And I'm just like, where are they getting this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just started learning more, and that's why I wrote my next book, which is called From Head to Tummy, because of these stories and stories of little children being bullied because of their weight. So my next book deals with those issues about, you know, media messages and being confused about what you're seeing and hearing and being weight, you know, and all that. So it goes through the little story of a little girl with, you know, being confused about what's going on. around her. And at the end, there's parenting tips and self-esteem building exercises that a mom and a daughter or a son, you know, can do together to help build self-esteem. And so that's why I put out my second book.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, my
yeah.
Little,
I mean,
I have two of my little.
I probably was on a diet when I was 10.
Oh.
Two of my little granddaughters were with me today, and one of them kept saying, "I can't eat that because I'm on a diet," and she's 8 years old.
Wow.
I said, "Who put you on a diet?" You know.
Wow.
So it certainly is true that they, for some reason, they learned that, and she knows what food she shouldn't eat too. So I can't have that sugar. I can't have that. I'm on a diet, or I can't eat that candy because I'm on a diet. But I mean, I said, well, it's great that you're not eating sugar because it's not really good for you, but you don't need to be on a diet. Just make good food choices, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big,
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I think that they get a lot of their issues from us, their mothers, because they hear us.
Oh, yeah.
They hear us. They hear what we say about it, our bodies, and they hear what we say about the food that we eat, and they really listen and internalize that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The number one role model for a child is the same-sex parent. So a female is going to, idolize her mom and mimic her mom. So that's exactly right. That's where she's learning it. And so, yeah, often when I teach, I also will do, when I speak, a class for parents and how to create a healthy relationship with food. And so, yeah, that's the number one thing I say is, what are you modeling, you know? Are you modeling saying, I was so bad last night because I had this ice cream, saying, oh, it's bad to eat ice cream? You're saying it's eternally wrong to eat ice cream?
Mm-hmm.
Or have you ever heard like the commercials or the things that say guilt-free ice cream or guilt-free cookies because they're low fat or no fat? So if you eat the full fat ice cream, that's sinful and wrong. Like what? Your eternal state is based on what you eat. You know, it's just horrible. It's wrong. And I'm a big believer in intuitive eating, and it's something that I was taught. Not only in college, but it's also principles that they in the eating disorder facilities. So it's, you know, it's a principle that there's really no wrong or right food. It's all about being attuned to your body and listening to its cravings and, you know, of course, moderation and, you know, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to teach.
Yeah, I definitely keep that in mind with having three daughters, but not even just my three daughters, but, you know, even my oldest son, because my younger two sons, they're too young, I think, but my oldest son, he went through this period of time where he gained like a ton of weight, and it was because he was about to hit a growth spurt, and as soon as he grew, he was back to his lanky little self. But during that, I don't know, about a year where he had just put on a whole lot of weight. He was hard on himself. He would say things about himself, it was hard, you know, it was hard to know how to help him, you know, because we wanted to encourage him to eat better and to move more. But we also didn't want him to feel bad about himself. So, it's tough being a parent, knowing what to say and what to do to support your child. I know I was an overweight child, and so I dealt with all kinds of bullying, and I dealt with my own self-bullying and self, you know, negative thoughts and stuff. And I definitely don't want to pass that on to my kids, but I also don't want my kids to get so overweight that they then are subjected to that as well. So it's kind of like this whole juggling in my head of what to do and what to say and how to act. And, and we've just tried to focus on just having more family adventures and going on walks and being more active, but it's not always easy. It definitely isn't.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I mean, usually, unless a doctor says, you know, different, you don't put children on diet for sure. And then but usually the best thing is to do is never address it and never be like, oh, you shouldn't be eating this or that. I mean, that's just going to make it worse. Because what's going to happen mm-hmm. is you become the food police to them. And then the first mm-hmm. thing they're going to do when you're not around is they're going to binge. Mm-hmm. And then they're just going to feel guilty for when they do eat. So the best thing is just to make food a non-issue, but provide healthy food and healthy choices all the time. And then encourage exercise as a means of being healthy. So you're going to be like if you're exercising as an example, don't say like, oh, I'm exercising because I ate that big old burger and I need to burn it off. Like that's an unhealthy statement. But a good one would be, oh, I'm exercising because it makes me feel so good and healthy and I want to be strong. I want my heart to be strong. I want my lungs to be strong and it feels good to move. Make it about mm-hmm. health and not about weight. And I love what you just said about we go on family walks, we go on family outings together. That's perfect. Just encourage, you know, physical activities as a family is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah,
yay, I'm doing one thing right.
Yeah. And then building self-esteem. That's awesome. Like, yeah, do as many self-esteem building exercises as you can. I mean, you can Google them. Like I said, I have a bunch in the back of my one book, but you can Google search so many. And just try to make it a fun thing that you do together. Do it for family night, you know. Do self-esteem building exercises all the time. Because the better they feel about themselves, they're going to want to take care of their bodies. And they're going to feel better about themselves if they do get bullied. It's going to roll off their back easier if they have, mm-hmm. like, already that internal worth, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Internal worth. Yeah. We definitely need more people with that. In this world.
You bet. Yeah, you bet. And another thing is modeling it. Like I said, you know, parents are the biggest model. So if they see you putting yourself down as a parent, they're going to learn that they need to talk bad about themselves. So as a parent, we need mm-hmm. to let them hear us compliment ourselves, you know, let them hear us say, mm-hmm. especially as women and our daughters, let them hear us say, hey, I think I look great today, you know, or I think I did really good on that speech I did or that talk I did in church or whatever. I think I did really good mm-hmm. at work today or whatever it might be. Let your kids hear you speak good about yourself. Let them know it's okay to, you know, to feel good about yourself. And never, ever, ever let them hear you put yourself down. Because it does a couple mm-hmm. things. One is it teaches them, like I said, modeling. It teaches them, well, this is how I talk about myself. My mom talks bad about herself. I'm going to talk bad about myself. Second, say if you're putting down your nose, say, oh, I have a horrible, ugly nose. Well, guess what? Your daughter might have inherited that nose.
mm-hmm.
So that's not a good idea to put down a feature she might have inherited. The next, they look up to you. They think you're like this amazing, you know, they put you on a pedestal. And so they think, whoa, if this person that I think is amazing is horrible, then how much worse am I? So so there's a lot of reasons you just don't ever let them. If that's the only thing you take away from the people, you know, the people listening, that's the only thing you take away from this is don't put yourself down in front of your children, then that, you know, that's what I want you to take away.
Well, and that's one of the basic tenets of fearless living also is to not beat yourself up. And I think that for me, living fearlessly means also, I mean, we all go to the same church, so we have the same philosophy and belief system is, you know, that the greatest commandment is to love God, and then it's to love yourself as, you know, and love others as you love yourself. And part of what I hear you saying is it's really important that you have this good understanding that you are a divine daughter of God and that you are of great value and you're good just, you know, you're perfect just the way you are. And remembering that then allows you to actually internalize that principle, and then it's just a way of living. And when you are living that way and not beating yourself up and expressing your gratitude for your health and for your well-being and for your life, then that becomes a way of thinking and a way of acting and a way of being. And then your family's going to have that see that modeling and understand that principle, because I think too many people still beat themselves up, even though they have that value. They don't internalize it to the point where it's a way of living. And you can't really serve and love others until you learn to love yourself.
Yeah, beautiful. Yep.
Yeah, I love how, I mean, I can tell just by listening to you how passionate you are about what you're sharing. And, you know, just maybe do you have a tip on how, if someone's not really sure about what they're passionate about, what they could do to kind of figure that out for themselves?
Well, one thing I've thought of is obviously something that you like to do. If there's something that you are mm-hmm. that you like, start looking into those areas. Something that if you wake up in that morning, something you're thinking about. It sounded like you said that you, in your workshops, help people find their passion. What's something that you would have on that, your tips on that?
Well, basically, we say the same thing. Pay attention to what you like. Also, step out of your comfort zone and try new things. If there's yeah. not something currently in your life right now that gets you excited, then, you know, go out there and look, you know. Yeah. And it could be something as simple as, you know, something you hear on Facebook or something you saw on TV or something you see in your community and just get to know more about it. If it's something that you think of more than once, there's probably something there to it.
Yeah.
And then also, I think, don't judge what it is that you like. If you like books and you like to sit home and read those books, that's fine if that's what you're passionate about. Now, if you want to expand that, you can expand that. You can join groups of other people who like books. You could start yeah. a book club, you know, or whatever it is to continue in that same genre of passion that you have, but open it up and expand it and have it involve possibly other people or different genres of books or whatever it is to keep fueling that passion that you have for what
yeah.
you love. And, you know, I think that, you know, at times we might, you know, be a little overcritical of ourselves. And so I think that's how sometimes our passions can get lost, because we think that there's no value in it, or you can't make money at it, or, you know, oh, that's silly, or I'm not a kid anymore, you know, or whatever it might be. But, you know, your passion is your passion. And I think the more you involve yourself in getting, you know, involved in what you're passionate about, it's going to flow over to the other areas of your life. So if your career is not what you're passionate about, but it's something you're good at and can make a living at, you know, maybe there is a way that you can bring in those areas that you do have passion into the areas that you may not. And I think the more you involve yourself in it, the more that you can do that.
Yeah, fabulous. Yeah, because my passions,
well,
I feel like just kind of, yeah, because I'm saying mine just kind of came, you know, through my experiences and just kind of knowing this is what I needed to do. But I was so, I mean, it just felt like it was everything in me. It was my heart, you know. And so mine came about a little differently. So I love mm-hmm. hearing what you said. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to tell other people this is how I found mine. So I love
yeah.
hearing that.
Well, I think that's good, though, to hear, you know, to hear your story. You know what I mean? And I
yeah.
feel like when I allow myself permission to get fully involved in all these different things that I'm passionate about, I find a way to kind of bring them all together. Because they all support me. So, you know, at first when I was trying to pull them together, I'm like, oh, this is so random. Like, I'm really into makeup and I'm really into fearless living and I'm really into this and that. How do I bring those all together? And they all really support each other because they support me. So, So I think the more you involve yourself in what it is that you do and that you love, the more you'll see a path to intertwine them, even if they're as, you know, as different as, you know, books and unicorns or whatever, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you can bring them together. You can write a book about unicorns or whatever. So, you know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Yeah.
Mac.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I
like that. Sadly, we are out of time.
Yes.
30 minutes goes by
so
quickly.
Yes.
Oh,
thank you
so
much for having me. I hope if there's anyone listening that they think that I can help them anyway, my story can help them anyway, just go to HaleyHFreeman.com and hopefully they can link me that way.
Yes. And as all of our guests that we have on the show, if you go to our website, fearlessgenerations.org, and go to our guest coach page, all of Haley's information is right there. You can just click it. It's already linked. And you can find her as there as well. And we also have her Facebook page linked to the show. So you can find her that way as well. Thank you so much for coming on our show tonight.
Yes, thank you. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And I look forward to reading your books.
What was that?
I look forward to reading your books.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to get your kid one because my 9-year-old does have some issues, even though we tell her that she's fine. So that I appreciate that information is out there so that I can know how to support her better. So I really appreciate that. I'm so glad we had you on the show tonight, and I love getting to know even more about you because Haley and I actually met each other through my makeup passion. So I'm excited to get to know this side of you as well.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right, listeners, we thank you for coming back and meeting with us again each week. We will see you again next Monday, talking passion again. And until then, be fearless.
Good night.
Good night.